ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 24. Chapter entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. Tasmat sarveshu bhuteshu dayam kurut sauhridam bhavam asuram unmuchya yayatushyati adokshaja tasmat sarvesu bhutesu dayam kuruta sauhridam bhavam asuram unmuchya yayatushyati adokshaja. Mataji's, please. Tasmat, therefore, sarvesu, to all, bhuteshu, living entities, dayam, mercy, kuruta, show, sauhridam, friendliness, bhavam, the attitude, asuram, of the demons, who separate friends and enemies, unmuccha, giving up, yaya, by which, tushyati, is satisfied, adokshaja, the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the perception of the senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yascha asmi tatvatah. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in this service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 18:69. Nachitasman manusyeshu kaschin me priyakritama. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. As one performs this service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru, devotee, and preach Krishna consciousness. Yare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied, and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam santim richati. One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord. That He is the Supreme Enjoyer, He is the proprietor of everything, and that He is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word sauridam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord Vishnu is situated in the core of everyone's heart, every body is a temple of Vishnu. One should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Daridra Narayana. If Narayana lives in the house of a Daridra, a poor man, this does not mean that Narayana becomes poor. He lives everywhere in the house of the poor and those of the rich, but in all circumstances he remains Narayana. To think that he becomes either poor or rich is a material calculation. He is always Sat Aishwarya Purna, full in six opulences in all circumstances. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desharini. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, very nice translation and purport, especially very appropriate since we are in Christmas marathon. Prabhupada is emphasizing so much about spreading Krishna consciousness. This is actually our family business. There's only two things Prabhupada emphasizes again and again. One is to practice Krishna consciousness, and the other one is to spread Krishna consciousness. And here in the purport, Prabhupada says, even if you're imperfect, just the fact you're trying, it's glorious. The example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Sri Rangam. He actually came across this Brahmin who was, you know, having hard time, you know, pronouncing and reading Sanskrit. He was actually illiterate. But at the time of initiation, the spiritual master of this Brahmin told this Brahmana to read the entire Gita every day. Oh yeah, there's the artwork in the ceiling. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Sri Rangam temple where this Brahmana was actually struggling with this book, Bhagavad Gita, upside down. And all his friends, they were actually making fun of him. They can see that, you know, this person is like, you know, illiterate. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went to him. There were so many scholars there, Sanskrit scholars and intelligent and good looking and high birth and everything. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went straight to this Brahmana who cannot read and asked him, "My dear Brahmana, I see that, you know, that you cannot read. You have the book upside down and, you know, you're struggling, but what's going on?" And the Brahmana can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, you know, genuinely inquiring. So he revealed to him what's going on. And the Brahmana said, "You know, my spiritual master asked me to read the Gita, entire Gita every day. But I can read, but I cannot disobey his orders, so I'm just making an effort." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "That's okay, but I see some tears in your eyes, so what's that about?" And the Brahmana said, "Just the fact that I'm making an effort to follow the orders of my spiritual master, you know, I can see Krishna and Arjuna being present in the battlefield. I can see it in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. And I'm crying because I see how Krishna, even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sada Iswarya Purnam, like Prabhupada says in the purport, has become the chariot driver of this, his devotee Arjuna. He's taken such a lowly position. The God has become the servant of his servant. As it is mentioned in the Mahabharata, when you're actually a fighter, you don't actually have time to actually give directions to the driver. It's not like a taxi, you tell him, okay, now you go here, go there. You have no time, so you basically kick him, you kick the driver in the back. Wherever you touch him, then the driver will know where to turn, whether to go right or left or like this. Can you imagine Krishna taking the position, such a lowly position where he's being kicked and told by his devotee where to turn, you know, right and left like this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually embraced this Brahmana and congratulated him, saying, actually, you are the best reader of the Bhagavad Gita. So here is an example of somebody, even though they're trying to execute Krishna consciousness in an imperfect way, still in the eyes of Krishna, just the fact he's making an humble attempt, is the Lord is very, very pleased. He's very pleased. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada is asking of us to distribute Krishna consciousness. And just the fact that we make an attempt, we will be blessed profusely. And Prabhupada, since, if you listen to his earliest lectures in the 60s, he's telling, room full of audience that are not even Krishna conscious. He's telling them the importance of spreading Krishna consciousness. He was so enthusiastic. And as I was mentioning before, this runs in our family. This is our family business. Even somebody like Haridas Thakur, whenever we think of Haridas Thakur, we remember how he used to chant so many rounds, 172 rounds. How many? 196 rounds. And still, he was not just chanting, he would go out and, preach Krishna consciousness. There's so many instances where he was, talking in the assembly of Brahmanas, and this Gopal Chakravarti challenged Haridas Thakur's presentation on the holy name. And Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, they would actually go and door to door to spread Krishna consciousness. So you can see simultaneous transformation and distribution. And in this chapter, we can see, interestingly enough, Krishna's arrangement and also Prahlad Maharaj's desire, that he is decided to tell about Krishna to the demons. Prahlad Maharaj's audience, if you study, they're actually kids of demons. It's not like any Joe can just enroll in, Hiranyakashipu's school and, just be enrolled and study there. No way. Even the demigods were fearful of Hiranyakashipu. And the teachers were exalted demons. And if you want to go school there, you have to be coming from a highly qualified demon family. It's not a joke. And, nowadays there's people talk big time about serial killers, Somebody kills 4 or 5 people, it's a big thing. Even though millions and millions of animals are killed every day, few humans get killed and gets into a big thing. But if you talk about serial killer to Hiranyakashipu, he was the original one. And he killed millions and millions of innocent souls. So Prahlad Maharaj is surrounded by all these demoniac schoolmates. And just like his spiritual master, Narada Muni, doesn't matter the circumstances or audience, Prahlad Maharaj is just telling them about Krishna consciousness. Not just telling them about Krishna consciousness, he's encouraging them to preach Krishna consciousness. It's really amazing, really bold, empowered and inspired by Narada Muni. Just like we know Narada Muni, wherever he went, whether he was preaching to Kailas or Narada Muni was preaching to Dhruva or Pallad or even Kamsa, the goal was Krishna consciousness. Maybe he was using different tactics according to different audience, but he was fully compassionate and his desire was that everybody come to Krishna consciousness. Just like last month I was reading the pastime of Nala Kuvara and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets. How Narada Muni saw them, these two sons, of the treasurer of the demigods, they were actually enjoying in the garden of Lord Shiva. They were actually completely intoxicated, you know, playing in the waters naked with women and what, you know, like if you people read this story past time, people, you know, would think what an amazing time they're having. But Narada Muni saw, he was actually very sorry for these souls. Just like same like Prabhupada. It's mentioned that when Prabhupada used to see people in New York, you know, driving in limousines and wearing suits and, you know, walking their dogs and very wealthy personality, Prabhupada would feel very sorry. Because Prabhupada can see the soul is suffering. Even though these people may externally have some wealth, but the real wealth is Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni wanted to somehow or other bring them to their senses and bring them to Krishna consciousness. And it's mentioned that the earth planet is actually a perfect situation for practicing Krishna consciousness. Because here, nobody is completely enjoying and nobody is completely suffering. It's a nice blend here. It's a middle planetary system. But in the higher planets, in the heavenly planets, there's too much enjoyment that they cannot think of Krishna. So Narada Muni thought the best thing for him to do would be to curse them. But not just curse them, but Narada Muni had their welfare in mind, ultimate goal in mind, and cursed them to become trees in the garden of Nanda Maharaj, where ultimately Damodar liberated Nalakura and Manigriva and got the darshan of Krishna. So, whether we are reading Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita or Krishna book or Bhagavad Gita, the Acharyas and Krishna himself, they is emphasizing distributing Krishna consciousness so much. And as far as we are concerned, we don't have to become great preachers ourselves. We just have to assist humbly the great preachers and our spiritual master. Just like our president, Savas Prabhu, is eager to distribute so many thousands of Gitas. And he's always meditating. It's not like he wants to become a great preacher. He just wants to please Srila Prabhupada, please the predecessor Acharyas. And this is the mood of our Sampradaya. And this can never be stressed enough. Just like Prabhupada was present like, you know, 33 years ago, 34 years ago. And how many times can he repeat this? You know, the same point again and again, distribute books, spread Krishna consciousness, distribute books, spread Krishna consciousness. If something that he emphasized the most, this is it. But we're already forgetting. This is the age of Kali. Krishna himself says, Sakala Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. I'm speaking the Gita again to you because due to the influence of time, everything gets lost. There was this conversation Prabhupada had with the authorities in Tirupati, this famous temple of Balaji. And Prabhupada was talking to them, and immediately Prabhupada is emphasizing this point that you have deity worship, you're all qualified brahmanas, but you shouldn't just remain Kanishtha Adhikaris and just worship the deities. And Prabhupada is telling them, we have to go past that and come to the Madhyama level, Madhyama Adhikari platform, and actually distribute Krishna consciousness along with this beautiful deity worship. And he was actually giving the example of their Sampradaya Acharya, Ramanujacharya. He was actually encouraging them, saying, just see your spiritual master, Ramanujacharya, how he was spreading Krishna consciousness. when he had this, Prabhupada had this conversation with John Lennon and George Harrison and Yoko, Prabhupada was also saying the same point, because they were talking about some kind of transcendental meditation that's supposed to be secret. And Prabhupada said, why secret? If something is so wonderful, why should it be kept secret? What is this cheating? And Prabhupada cited this example of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya, this pastime Prabhupada quotes, Prabhupada doesn't get into the details, but Prabhupada mentions how Ramanujacharya was actually given this mantra. Ramanujacharya's spiritual master asked Ramanujacharya to go to this place called Tirukoti, and there is this very, very exalted devotee there called Tirukoti Nambi. And Ramanujacharya was supposed to go to this saintly person and serve him and receive this special mantra. But this person was very conservative, Tirukoti Nambi. He wouldn't give the mantra so cheaply. He was very orthodox and very strict and very, very like hard to crack, so to speak. Ramanujacharya actually would go there and serve him and humbly inquire, but he wouldn't give the mantra. And he had to walk so many miles all the way from Srirangam to this place, which would take days. And after making an attempt to receive this mantra for 17 times, still he couldn't get it. One time actually Ramanujacharya was actually visiting this personality who's got the mantra. And there was actually a procession of deities. And the deity actually spoke to the pujari to tell this Tirukoti Nambi to give the mantra to Ramanujacharya. Still he wouldn't give it. He was so cautious. So after so many attempts, I think like 18th or 19th time, this guru, this saintly person actually gave the mantra to Ramanujacharya and said, please, you cannot distribute this to anyone. You cannot do this. And Ramanujacharya said, sure. So he received the mantra. And as soon as he left the guru's ashram, the teacher's ashram, Ramanujacharya can see how everybody is suffering. You know, people are so enthusiastic about so many mundane activities that are going to give them repeated birth and death. Some are crying, some are laughing, you know, some are pregnant, some are killing animals. There's so much going on, he couldn't take it anymore. And he remembered how this saintly person told him, whoever chants this mantra will go to Vaikuntha for sure. So he spread the news among the villagers saying, I have a very, very valuable gem I'm going to distribute. So everybody gathered in this, outside this temple. And Ramanujacharya actually climbed the top of the temple. Not like temple like ours. If you've seen in Indian temple, they have this thing called Gopuram. It's huge. The Gopuram, this like a, what is it called in English, Achyutapuram? Pyramid. It says that the Srirangam pyramid, you can actually see it from the satellite. It's like next to the Great Wall of China or something. It's the most visible. So Ramanujacharya climbed on the top of this Gopuram. And he said to everybody, please repeat after me. And he chanted this mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. And everybody repeated after him and everybody was ecstatic. Imagine receiving the mantra from the mouth of Ramanujacharya. And the news actually spread to the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. And he was furious. He was so angry. I mean, we can't imagine. So this devotee, Tirukoti Nambi, sent some of his disciples to bring Ramanujacharya to him immediately. And Ramanujacharya knew what to expect when he showed up. And the guru was so upset, he was yelling at him and screaming at him and said, you know, what have you done? I told you not even tell one person. On the contrary, you gathered a whole village and you distributed, like, what could be a greater insult for me? And Ramanujacharya, with his humility and compassion, he said, Actually, Gurudev, I know I'm going to hell for disobeying your orders, but I know by chanting this mantra, all these hundreds and thousands of people will go to Vaikuntha, so it doesn't matter if I just one person, I go to hell. I'm willing to accept the responsibility for disobeying your instruction. So the Guru's heart actually softened to see how elevated was Ramanujacharya. It was not just selfish, it was just not into his salvation. He wanted everybody to go back to Godhead. So this devotee actually embraced Ramanujacharya and said, actually, you know what, you're much better devotee than me and you're actually my spiritual master. So this way, the mood is there, whether it's in Christianity or in Quran or any sampradaya you take, the mood is to spread. It's mentioned how the disciples of Jesus Christ, they were actually fed to lions in the middle of, in the public, so people will stop preaching. And some were actually put in boiling oils. They were fried, literally. And it's actually explained that one such person, one such disciple who survived, I mean, they had mystic powers. One of them was Saint Thomas. He was actually put in boiling oil, but he didn't die. He came out. So the principle was that they cannot try to kill somebody twice. So they let him go and he went to actually Madras, Chennai, and he was preaching there. There is this actually place there, St. Thomas Mount. So this is the mood in all sampradaya, and any genuine follower of God, he wants to spread this Krishna consciousness. And in other yugas, if you want to become self-realized, you know, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, you have to go to forest and meditate for 60,000 years. Can you imagine? What to speak of living 100 years, you know, you have to meditate for 60,000 years, celibacy, not eating. You have to perform all kinds of expensive, you know, horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice, aswamedham, gavalambam. Worship the deity with so much opulence and purity and perfection. But in this age of Kali, the same result we get just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Can you imagine? But Prabhupada explains how unfortunate we are. We can't even do that. What to speak of meditation for thousands of years and not eating and standing in one leg and like this. So, this is the mercy of Prabhupada and Acharyas, that they have given us this simple process that we should chant Hare Krishna mantra and distribute to others the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And this is the greatest welfare work. Like so many, everybody wants to help. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if somebody is drowning and you jump in the waters and bring their jacket, their coat out, and the real person went inside, what kind of saving is that? The real person went inside. Similarly, if you're not helping the soul, then it's not real help. Prabhupada gives the example. Just like if a father, mother and a child, they go on a pilgrimage, and the child gets lost, and after searching so much, the parents go home so disappointed and sad. And some of the friends of this couple, they visit the same holy place and they see the child and somebody decides to take the child to a clothing store and buys him like clothes. And some other friends, family friends of this child, takes him to a doctor and gives him like cough syrup, and somebody takes him to the restaurant. But if somebody takes the child back to the parents, then all the problems are immediately solved. Similarly, the soul is actually separated from Krishna and is suffering so many miseries of material existence. This unlimited miseries we all have experienced. Especially as devotees, we can see it. When you're in Maya, you take so much caffeine and intoxication, you don't feel it so much. As devotees, we feel it so blatant, like, you know, how much suffering there is in this world. So the only way to become free from this suffering is to again get connected to Krishna individually and also distribute Krishna consciousness. This process really works. Like, for example, the Saturday before, I was in Harinam with Ganesh Prabhu. And this one person actually got a Bhagavad Gita from me, and then just few hours later, he texted me saying, like, he's already reading the book. And he's from Bay Area, and he was a cop. And he's switching from being a cop to an engineer. And then a couple of days later, he texted me saying he's read 3 chapters of the Gita. I asked him, are you reading the purports? Are you reading the commentaries? He said, no. I said, no, you have to read. That's the most important thing. Again, a week later, he wrote to me, I finished the book and I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And I asked him, have you read the commentaries? He said, yes. And he says, I chanted Hare Krishna today. Have you? And this is the kind of texting back and forth, you know. He says, I want to become a pure devotee. And then he's asking, what is your goal in life? And then he's like, when are you coming to Bay Area? We will start a center here. I said, there's already so many few centers there. You just have to go there, you know. It's just amazing, this between one Saturday and the next Saturday, somebody wants to become a pure devotee. Can you imagine the unlimited material desires each soul has? And just by reading one of Prabhupada's books, he wants to start a center, he on his own is chanting Hare Krishna, and, you know, it's unbelievable changes. So what, even if he doesn't go back to Godhead in one life, I'm sure, hope he does, but just saying, even if somebody doesn't, but we've been here billions and billions of years, so it's such an amazing process. So please, everybody assist Sovas Prabhu in assisting him pleasing Prabhupada and distribute Bhagavad Gita's all month, this month. And nowhere in this world can you, you know, so many books are available and no pressure to collect so much. So we can easily distribute books. If you cannot distribute books in this temple, there's no chance anywhere else. It's true. And if anybody else wants to sponsor, those of you on the internet, please feel free. We need help. Our goal is to distribute 20,000 Gitas this month. So I stop here. Any questions or comments by our devotees? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. On Krishna certain text that who distributing my glories around the world, he is very dear to me. So he mean just for men. There is nothing about she. So the instruction looks just for men, right?
Yeah, I mean, every soul is a she, so. Prabhupada, I mean, anybody who distributes Krishna consciousness is he or she or it. Anyone. He or she, anyone who distributes Krishna consciousness will go back to Godhead. Archita Prabhu wants to clarify.
My second question.
Can you speak in the mic for the internet? Can you give him the mic? Okay.
Many people were
not familiar with Old English, they're not, maybe they don't understand the patriarchal nature of English, that formerly when you said he, it meant everyone. He means everyone, not just male. That was the English language. He referred to everyone. That was the standard. So when you see he in Prabhupada's books or any older English books, it means everyone. It's not referring to just men. That was the standard. Yes, yes. Krishna is speaking to everyone, obviously. Kunti is his devotee. Draupadi is his devotee. He didn't just have male devotees. Krishna related to everyone who was his devotee. So when Krishna is speaking, he's speaking to everyone, obviously. And when it's translated into English, Old English, he means the human race. He means everyone. That was the standard in English. Now we've come to the point where we have to say he, she, him, her. But formerly it was understood. When you said he, you meant everyone.
But you can see from Prabhupada's example, we can see from the recent Prabhupada example, it's obvious he wanted everybody to preach. And he was so fond and proud of his lady disciples who spread Krishna consciousness. So instead of getting confused with the language he and she, we just follow the acharyas, the recent example, and spread Krishna consciousness without getting into these confusions. Okay, we'll stop here. We have time running out. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.